This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Marty likes the kind of control, and Riley Ains falls lost her hair.
Wow. Yeah, that was only half of it. So I figured we would play half of it now because it's jam-packed full of references, and it's not a theme song. It's a real song, basically.
Wow.
I played the second half at the end of the episode, but that was Alex Southey, a musician from Toronto, who's always been a fan, obviously.
Of course.
And he thinks both of us will recognize the song from the late 90s, so it could have been a high school or university favorite. It's Mazzy's Star Fade Into You.
Interesting. I don't know that I did recognize it.
I thought it sounded like Radiohead or something. Like Fake Plastic Trees. Is that Radiohead?
I don't know. I was not into, I mean, it's been clearly established that I was not into like cool music when I was in high school. I mean, it was cool to me, and it's actually aged really well over time, of course.
As you what?
Know. Dude Ranch. Cheshire Cat much? Yeah.
But you also like Dave. He was pretty slow.
Dave Matthews?
Yeah.
I don't think Ants Marching is a very slow song. It's actually a major pick-me-up song. What would you say? Yeah, pretty amped. Dancing Nancy's, Tripping Billy's. I mean, come on, dude. I don't know what you're talking about.
Did you like Blink and Dave at the same time?
Yeah, I guess I did.
I guess I contained multitudes that year.
Yeah.
All right, we're recording this kind of live. It's going to be Monday morning and released Monday, slightly afternoon. So recording this on Monday, July 19th. You are in LA all weekend long.
That's right. We saw each other for the first time in a year and a half. Does seeing me on Zoom feel different now, having seen me as recently as the day before yesterday?
No, I guess it feels kind of similar. And it's weird because since we do Zoom literally every day for a year and a half, it didn't feel like I hadn't seen you for that long.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
it was fake reunion because I saw you just as much as I did when you lived here. I just hadn't like physically seen you. So it was kind of bizarre.
It was a lot for me. It was intense. I think it was like a little surreal to see you in the flesh, but because we've seen each other so much and because we've talked so much and we've been friends for so long, it like the adjustment was pretty quick. Like by that afternoon, it felt normal. But everybody, like seeing the rest of the office, that like didn't wear off.
Right. You saw our new HeadGum space for the first time, which was kind of cool.
Saw the new HeadGum space, met like 5 new people that we hired that I've seen on Zoom, but never in person. So that was wild.
Yeah. Was anybody taller or shorter than you thought? I knew I grew a few inches this quar. Was that kind of weird to see?
It was weird, but I mean, I knew that you had gotten the shin lengthening surgery.
It was natural. What are you talking about? I'm 6'3 now. and I had a weird month where I was sort of bedridden. But yeah, it's kind of cool to be like the primo Hido now.
Danny is tall. Danny's taller than I thought he was going to be.
Yeah, Danny's a natural 6'3".
A natural, actual 6'3".
A legit, yeah. And I should say, we also shot some stuff in LA for the first time in years and years and years.
That's right. Yeah. The last video we shot together was the Trump video in 2016. And we made a COVID list video in early 2020. But I wouldn't even consider that a Jake and Amir because we were all so low-key depressed. It didn't.
Right. So that didn't count. Because we didn't were sad count. That year.
Yeah. And we filmed it on our... I mean, I filmed it by myself on an iPhone. So it felt sort of like going through the motions. Anyway, yeah. How did you feel about shooting Jake and Amir?
It was... I don't know. It didn't... Again, it felt like I've done it so many times that I didn't have to like get into character. It seems like it's written in such a way that I'm forced to be that person. So like, I feel like I was able to slide back into what the Amir character was.
Yeah. It feels like we've been, I mean, we do like basically in character-esque bits on the podcast all the time. We had the HeadGum videos where like sometimes I was insane and sometimes you were insane.
So we kept practice,
but we knew that we had the cadence. The most comfortable thing for me was writing a Jake and Amir. When I wrote a quick cut one before I came out, and it just flowed out of me. It was like, it was exactly like putting on an old pair of shoes and just like comfortable, easy, no problem.
Right. So hopefully the audience agrees because they might see like, whoa, this is way worse. I don't know what they were thinking.
Yeah, they'll think we lost a step, but the reality is I think it's the same, and the old videos were also bad. If you don't like them now, you've changed.
You've grown. That's
not
right.
Us. This is not like when people didn't like Blink-182's self-titled newest album, but then a couple of years later, all of a sudden I'm feeling this is like a classic Blink song, and that's not how people felt. You know, Drake has a lyric where he says, I come out with a classic and years later people say it's a sleeper. Like, like they don't like the new shit till it becomes the old shit.
You don't have to get defensive yet. Like,
I'm not,
we haven't even
I'm just discussing what it is to be an artist.
Let alone release them and have like,
I'm talking about it for Drake. I'm different. Our fans are different. Our fans are cooler. By the way, if you want to support this endeavor, you can subscribe to our Patreon because that's what we're using to fund the operation. We don't know.
Yeah.
So
now that it's RIP, we sort of have to make it ourselves, which is a little more complicated. Right. We should talk about how the first day we get there and we don't have any of the equipment we need to actually shoot.
You know, we never took our producers for granted, but we definitely didn't have any idea how to do it ourselves. We showed up and the Zoom didn't work. We couldn't record the audio. We didn't have batteries for it. We had to walk to the store to get the batteries. You forgot the tripod. We were balancing
and the SD card
on a shelf. When we finally got it going, you didn't have the SD card. The labs were cutting out. By the time we were so quick when we shoot, we were able to shoot the video in like less than an hour, and it took us 2 hours to get the frame ready to call action.
That's right.
But you know, we're shaking the rust off. We're getting the kinks out. I think that the more we do it, the more practice we have, the better it's going to be.
Yeah. So we shot 3 episodes, hoping to edit and release soon enough. And we used to, you know, write, shoot, edit, and now we have to do that, but also the 4th thing, which is produce, and that's the one that we're not quite used to. So
yeah.
Hopefully, but that's the thing that hopefully the audience doesn't realize or notice as much. And we tried to step it up even within these 3. So don't judge them as individually quite yet. This is a grand work of art we're sort of building towards. Mm-hmm.
And when you watch them, and if you don't think we're funny or the acting is good or the shots look good, at least know that it's impressive that they exist because we produced them.
And yeah, I can't help. That's not, I can't stress that enough. We're EPs now and also line P's now. So that's, we'll right, like pay people and also show up with a tripod if right, necessary.
Yeah.
That being said, I did forget to bring the tripod.
You forgot to bring the tripod. But, you know, we used to just roll up to the office. Crew call was like 2 hours before us. We would walk in. The shots were set up. They're like, sit in. Are you guys ready? We'd roll. We opened the gate for the crew this time. That's being an EP.
And shout out to Jeffrey, who did all the audio, the dumbass himself, and Avi, who shot the things and made it look great. So
that's right. Hopefully
you guys see those soon.
Can't wait.
All right. I should say this is If I Were You, an advice podcast. The only one on the web hosted by us. I'm Amir.
Correct. I'm Jake.
And I am shirtless at 10:30 a.m. recording. I usually have a shirt when we record.
Yeah. I'm curious because I said no shirt. And then you said it's been a day.
Yeah. So here's what my 8 to 10:30 was like.
Oh, my God. So I wake 2.5 hours. You wake up at 8. Yeah. Okay.
Wake up at 8. Nice, normal time. Go to grab a banana. And I see on my kitchen floor, there's some ants. No big deal. I've been there before. Mm-hmm. I can handle ants. It's kind of gross that there's ants, but that's what happens in LA. It gets warm. They find food. They sneak into your house through every corner and crevice, any nook and cranny.
Mm-hmm.
Then I take a closer look, and it's not quite just ants. My kitchen has a sliding door that opens up to the outside. It's not just quite ants. It seems to be a party of ants, and it looks like little pieces of rice. And I'm like, huh, that's not okay. My dog starts sniffing it. I start getting closer, and I'll sort of send you what I took a picture of and I saw, which was ants sort of eating, and it creeps me out even now to say this word, but maggots. There were dozens and dozens of, is it larvae? Is it maggots? It's fly eggs that hatched into these creepy, crawly worms that are on the ground. So they're
are
crawling.
Are you sending it to me? I don't know if I need to see it.
Yeah. Don't yeah, I'm it. Sending it to you. Oh, and no. So.
Ew. Ew.
And yes. Ew. Yeah. And they're all like surrounding and eating the maggots. Basically how you would design
fully
something
I'm
horrific.
I'm deleting these right now.
Yes. So you don't even want to see the photo. Imagine having that on your floor. Like, I don't even know what to begin to do. Like, there's hundreds of ants and dozens of maggots. So I have to be like, okay, take a beat. Get grossed out and then like wonder what what happens now. Like, do I call someone? Do I vacuum them up? Do I wash them out? Do I spray them? Do I use a dustpan and a broom? Like,
yeah,
I've never dealt with this specific issue before. They're little worms surrounded by ants that have crawled into my kitchen. I don't know the source of it even. I don't even know what these things are. So I text a group thread of people who have owned a house longer than me, and I'm like, all right, has anyone dealt with this situation? What are these things? How did they get in?
That's nice. I like a group thread versus going to the internet.
Yeah, group thread had some insight. My friend Ofer, who's very knowledgeable about the matter, homeowner, and also like is a very handy man, has chickens and compost and like knows about this whole ecosystem. Right away, he diagnoses it. These are fly eggs. A fly, just like a little fly, you know, the kind that buzzes around your kitchen, can lay hundreds of eggs that turn into these in 7 to 20 hours, and
so fast.
These will become flies somehow. I don't know how, because ants are eating them alive.
Right.
And he's like, just try to like get them out of your house because they'll soon become flies. All right, try to get them out of my house. I put the dog back into the bedroom to keep them from
eating. How do you try to get them out of your house? You just tell them to go very forcefully?
Yeah, I sort of use a stern tone. I mean, at first I tried to use, like, with ants, you could just use a wet paper towel and, like, clean it like dust. But these things are too, they're too thick. It's not quite ant level. So like going like this is like smushing rice into the ground. It doesn't do anything.
Oh, it's God.
I lift up a fucking, you know, like when you stand over this on the sink or when you, yeah, when you're at the sink, there's a little carpet, a carpet, a rug, a little rug. I have a few of them in my kitchen. Turn those over. Oh, you better believe there's dozens underneath each fucking rug. It's starting to spread. Yeah. And at this point, the ants are crawling on me and I'm feeling it. I'm feeling this fucking
You don't like ants at all.
No.
You're grossed out.
No, I don't like ants. Don't like ants. And I especially don't like the worms. At this point, Avital's there in the kitchen commiserating with me. She definitely doesn't want to like start sweeping, touching, squishing, crawling these creepy, crawly loser fucks. So I'm like feeling them all over my body and I'm like shaking. I'm like, oh, this is so fucking gross. It's really hot. I'm starting to sweat. So what I decide to do is use, I have a, a broom and a dustpan outside. So I'm like fucking just shoveling them like it's spilled quinoa or orzo into a dustpan dozens at a time. But like, you know, they're still alive. So in the dustpan, they're
crawling around the dustpan.
They're crawling.
Yeah.
Yes. So I'm doing that over and over, flipping them outside, doing that over and over, flipping them outside, looking under another carpet, more of them. I'm like, holy shit.
How did this happen?
I have to burn my house down. I don't know. Last night there were none.
Yikes.
There's hundreds. I move up every carpet. At a certain point, they're no longer under the carpets. So I guess they all contained in the kitchen carpets. I take all the carpets outside, shake them out, take all the creepy crawlies, throw them out. Spray the floor down, clean the floor, vacuum as a last thing. And at this point, it's like 10 a.m. I've done this for 2 hours trying to like resanitize my entire kitchen.
God.
I think they're gone, but like, I guess there's also a chance. I mean, I don't even know where, I didn't find the origin. I didn't this is the home base.
You got to do a deep clean. You have to empty out your cabinets.
But none of them are in the cabinets. They're all on the floor. In the kitchen, under the carpets, and I took all the carpets out and I cleaned the floor. I guess I'll see if they're back in an hour or two. But as far as I can see, they're all gone for now. But I don't know how they got there. Like a fly died underneath a carpet and laid 300 eggs. And
I think you
got to
do.
Overnight.
I think you got to. Yeah, you got to do a deep clean because they're in the cabinets. They're waiting in the wings for shit like that to happen.
I've had fruit flies before. And like, you know, you put the fruit out and the flies eventually leave. And I've had some flies, stragglers come in. But I don't know what I didn't like see the epicenter of these things. So like, I don't know what to set on fire and destroy.
It might be a mattress.
It might be inside you. Is there a world where a fly fucking laid its eggs in your nose and you sneezed all this out last night?
God, the fucking nightmare.
Just ants carrying maggots. Like, what's grosser than that? It's the big two of gross. I guess if there was like a dead mouse that they were all living in my bedroom, it could be worse. But this is almost as gross as it gets.
Oy, oy, oy
is right. I mean, that's just one of the classic fun parts about owning a house. You don't get to call somebody to deal with it. It's all just you v Mags, and it's like who flinches first. And it
I remember one of the grosser things when I first got my place in LA was like up where I was living. There was like coyotes, you know. Even in Silver Lake too. But one day I woke up and there was some kind of rodent or some coyote food was dead in my courtyard. And I
like an exposed raccoon corpse.
Yeah,
or something.
Right. Maybe that's what it was. A raccoon. I know it wasn't a skunk because it wasn't that gross, but it's like a prairie dog. I don't even know. It was bigger than a squirrel. And I was like,
roadkill, basically.
Yeah, totally. And in the middle of my courtyard, half devoured by coyotes, and it smelled awful. Jill was very upset, and like with that. It's just like one. It wasn't even a problem. It was just like one thing I had to get over. Like find a way to put this thing into a garbage. And I went down into the shed and I got a shovel.
Yeah. And you need like a rake or something long and sharp.
Yeah. You're not going to like this story. I went to shovel it and it opened up and it like exploded into maggots.
Oh, God. So I wonder if that's what the origin of this one. Yeah, I mean, flies just basically lay eggs in things. I just don't know what they laid eggs in. I hope there's not an open, exposed raccoon. There wasn't any of my trash either. I took my trash cans out, too, and fucking hosed and sprayed them down. I have no idea.
Oh, all right. Good. Good.
The good news is I think my kitchen is cleaner now than it has been for a while because I sprayed and bleached and vacuumed and everything.
Wow, good on you. That's really nice.
I had a similar thing. I mean, we're just doing story time now, but recently we heard a bang and there was a little dead birdie right outside of our house. Like he tried to fly in, hit the window, and it was just like a dead fucking bird. Like that's an annoying thing to try to get rid of. It's like, is this gonna wake up? Is he startled? Am I trying to like now like shoo him into like a garbage bag?
Very
gross and sad.
How'd you pick up the bird?
I used a broom and sort of brushed him into an open garbage can, but I was very scared the entire time that it would just be like, all right, let me get out of here and start flying towards me. I was ready to be startled and it never happened.
Birds are nice.
I guess something is kind of trying to Final Fantasy. Is that what it's called when like random bad shit happens to you? Is that Final Fantasy?
I don't think so. Resident Evil?
No, it's like that, it's not Final Fantasy, that's a video game. It's like that movie series where like, you know, you go on a roller coaster and like something bad happens.
Oh,
to, like,
Final Destination.
Yeah, finally. Yeah. So they're trying to Final Destination warn me to leave my house. Last week a bird died in my kitchen and now there's fucking maggots and ants everywhere. There's something cursed in here.
You're gonna come to New York, your house is gonna blow up because there's like a carbon monoxide leak. That's what's gonna happen. Yeah. At least, death is after.
At least the maggots will be gone once my house blows up. All right. Let's take a break and actually answer some questions. Now that we've talked about your trip, shooting videos, and of course, maggots, the big three.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show. We love Squarespace.
That's correct. I use Squarespace over and over again, all the time. It is my go-to.
Yeah, you've built multiple websites.
Yes. Yes.
It's kind of insane. You're like almost a Squarespace entrepreneur at this point. You must have made, what, 3, 5, 50 websites?
I am a mogul. Yeah. I am a scion of Squarespace.
So you know how easy it is to design, and you don't need to know much programming, if any, at all, to create a professional-looking online store, portfolio, blog, vlog. Hell, you'll even create a slog.
I have created a slog. And it is a slog.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a secret vlog.
Right.
You can even purchase domain names through Squarespace. Jake, what did you find that people can buy right now?
Fly a bike. You've heard of fly a kite? Well, how about you fly a bike? That's where you tie a string to a bike and run with it and see if it will fly. And if it does, you'll post it on this website, flyabike.com. Thanks, Sharks.
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah. Mine is bikeafly.com, which is also available.
Really?
Yep.
You can bike a fly? That's good.
Yeah, you put a little flea on like a bike. You're like, oh my God, look at this tiny little circus.
Yeah. All right. Cool. That's really smart.
So if you want to buy those domain names, or maybe somebody in your life is turning 50 and you want to buy them a website to show you how much you appreciate them, you can buy their full name.com if it's available. You can do it all.
Gorgeous.
And you can also do email campaigns. You can sell content. They got award-winning customer service. They even got a new AI tool called Squarespace AI to update written content on any website, product description, or email. So it can generate instant personalized results for your brand, which is kind of cool.
Very cool.
So to get access to all of these cool features and more, just head to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain by using that code segments.
Baller.
Yeah, that's squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase. And then when you're ready to launch, you'll just use that code segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Squarespace. Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Wow. Very exciting.
Jake, did you know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions that they just completely forgot about?
I did know that, but only because we've done one of these ads before, and I was floored when I found out.
Yeah, streaming content, you download an app to learn a thing, and then 13 months later, you're paying $6.95 for a flexibility course that you haven't taken since 2022.
Mm-hmm. You're stiff as a board. I mean, my God.
That's going to happen. Well, thank you, because Rocket Money is a personal finance app.
That's right.
That finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower those bills so you can grow your savings.
Beautiful.
Rocket Money sort of scours your bill. They say, get rid of this, this, that, and the other, and then you can suddenly find yourself with some extra cash in your pocket.
Exactly. Right.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions. Holy smokes.
Really good.
An average of $740 a year when you use the app's robust features. You found some stuff on Rocket Money that you canceled, right?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you don't have to name names, of course, but like what you saved, I thought you said close to $1,500, $1,600 a month.
That's, hey, easy does it.
A lot of gray area, okay. Quasi-legal,
no,
kind
no.
of dangerous subscriptions that Rocket Money me. Found.
That wasn't me.
And canceled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually now I want them back.
I'm scared without them. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Oh, yeah.
That's rocketmoney.com/segments. Rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, Rocket Money.
And we're back. All right, I checked again. It's still seemingly clean over there. So
nice. There we go.
30 minutes in. I am like, you know, when you're sort of sweaty, so you take your shirt off, but then it's like air conditioned, so now I just feel freezing. Yeah, so I'm like, have completely transformed to a cold, naked man as I record this episode.
God, what a low point for you. And on a Monday, too.
Yeah, classic hashtag Mondays, am I right?
Starting off the week wrong.
All right. We tweeted from our Jake and Amir Twitter account.
That's right.
For some lightning round cues to A. Hell yeah. Right. People came through.
I like this question from Mo Money, Mo Problems. Dark Fruits Poppy tweets, who could eat more of their favorite food by mass or volume in one sitting out of the two of you?
Wow, that's a good question.
I wanted to answer it because I think it's me.
Well, what would your food be?
Annie's macaroni and cheese.
Okay.
And I could genuinely never stop eating it. The only reason I ever stop is because there isn't more.
Yeah. So I... I guess that sounds like a good video because there has to be a theoretical point where you start feeling so sick and I guess you've never been there, right?
No, I've like definitely taken down two boxes solo, which is like, there've been times where I ate a box of Annie's alongside McDonald's French fries and a chicken sandwich. Like that's big. That's a lot.
Mine would probably be French fries, or if I really wanted to take this seriously, watermelon, because watermelon is very big and I can eat it without getting filled up with oil and salt. It would just be sweet water.
I guess if we did it strategically like that, where like you're eating watermelon and I'm eating Annie's, it feels like by volume you'd have to win.
Yeah.
But
I think back at the old College Humor office, do you remember a bet where somebody said, I bet you can't eat 3 pounds of food from the deli hot bar? And I think it was Zach Klein who ended up just buying 3 pounds of watermelon and eating it fairly easily.
Wow.
He like beat the system because a Zach lot of Klein, it is just water.
Yeah. He's a smart guy. He's very intelligent.
I don't think anybody ate like 3 pounds of like turkey meatloaf and mashed potatoes.
Kevin Corrigan did.
That's correct. What is your preferred amount of time to wait between watching TV episodes? So what was the last show you binged? And did you do nightly or do you prefer like, let's take a few days off and come back?
Jilla and I got really into this show called Oh, sounds Halt like and
you
Catch really Fire.
Into it. No. Yeah, you've already talked about this show.
Okay. So I think that, like, I'm not like the kind of like binger, like, let's stay up late and keep on watching. Like,
yeah.
I think I want to go to bed by, I want to start getting ready for bed by 11. So, like, usually 2. But I like a back to back. But
yeah.
Back to back and then the next night. That's kind of like a vibe.
I prefer like the live succession cadence of like, awesome episode, let's wait a week. I don't have the like, I need to wait and then fucking watch 6 in a night. Like that, it takes it away from me a little bit. You become numb to the story and like the excitement.
I guess I that's true. But I think a back-to-back and then you could wait a couple days. I feel like it's nice. It's just really nice to get that like that second attaboy, that like second dopamine hit. Like you have a great sandwich and you finish one half and you still have the other one ready to go. I like that feeling a lot.
Yeah.
But you have sports is the thing. And I do too. And I like that. But it makes watching TV a lot easier because you're not like constantly looking for something new. It's like when I like something, I'm like, great, I'll watch 2 episodes of Halt and Catch Fire. And tomorrow it's game 4 of this playoff series that I'm invested in.
Right.
And on the weekend, I'm watching football. And and that's football in the worldly sense, not American football, which I am actually out on.
Really?
Yeah, I am not into it. Last year, I only watched the what's the big one called? The Super Bowl.
What's the big one called?
I almost called
How
it the World
dare
Series.
You?
Yeah, no, I only watched the Super Bowl. I don't even think I watched the playoffs. Jesus.
Yeah, I always talk to like friends of mine who don't watch any sports at all. Like good friends of mine have not watched a single football, basketball, like don't know anything. And they just like, yeah, they need to have like from 8 to midnight, they're watching something else. And it's like, they watch so much like Netflix. I'm like, how do you have time to watch all these like random shows? It's like, well, I watch 5 hours of sports a day. They watch 5 hours of a movie or a TV show that I've never heard of. And so it all adds up to the same amount of time.
What do you do when basketball's not on? You watch American football?
Yeah, but in between basketball and football, there's a few months of just like not knowing what to do. I can't even tell you what I do at night.
Wow.
And then during the pandemic, there was like no sports for like 4 months straight. That was a real low point.
Yeah. I've got a good sports clip going now. I guess soccer's gone. The worldly football, I mean. But I'm into Formula One. I'm watching the Grand Prix every Sunday now.
Wow. Maybe I could do that. That'll fill up one morning. But then do I really need more? Shouldn't I just like purposefully avoid it so I don't watch more sports?
I guess so. But I think sports are a really beautiful thing. It's like human drama that's like unfolding.
The Olympics are coming up. That'll be a great 2 weeks of non-basketball, non-football sporting event.
Yeah. And they've got basketball. Are all of the basketball players, like I saw Kevin Love's not participating because of the fucked up nature of them forcing the athletes to do it, etc.
I thought he was just injured and old.
Maybe that's it. Are all of the NBA like stars going to be in on the team?
No, a bunch of them don't want to go. LeBron said he was kind of old and he's already won 3 gold medals, so he doesn't need to do it again. Chris Paul, same, needs to recover. Anthony Davis also won, doesn't need to play. James Harden was going to play, didn't play. The one player that didn't need to play and is there anyway is Kevin Durant. He's like, yeah, I'll go to Tokyo and keep playing basketball. And they're like, are you sure? You had a long season. He's like, I got nothing to do. I'll go to fucking Japan.
That's awesome. Like,
it's Kevin Durant and a few others. And then 3 people who are playing in the finals. So Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, and Chris Middleton are all on the Olympic team. If this series goes to 7... It's like game 7 is on Thursday of this week. And then like the Olympics begins 3 days later in Tokyo. So
that's insane.
They all They all have to battle each other, then take a private jet together, maybe across the world, and then start flying again together in a few days with a group of strangers that they've never played with before.
That's bonkers. I mean, it's yeah. And it's the Olympics, so even though, like, they always win handily, but it's still hard.
Not always, yeah.
Really?
They used to, yeah. They used to always win handily, and then more and more of the stars were like, oh, we don't need to play. And then it's like they started losing again, like in 2000 or 2004. They either didn't medal or finished in third or something because the world caught up. The U.S. got worse. And then there was the redeem team in 2008 where like Kobe, LeBron, Dwayne Wade, they all like, all right, let's go back and win a gold medal. And they did. And then they did. And then I think they did again in 2012 as well.
I see. Wow.
But now USA is like losing to these teams because like you look at like a team like Slovenia, they have like Luka Doncic and like four other like really good players that practice together and play together. They're a lot better than like this random poo-poo platter of not even all-stars that the USA is trotting out. So well, it's going to be a lot more interesting.
Great. I'm excited.
All right. Here's a question. What's your least favorite animal? Asked Julia Barnfield. I guess mine's a tie between ants and maggots, I think.
Yeah.
Although is maggot an animal or is it like a should I just say flies? Because that's what they somehow turn into.
Yeah, I mean, that is definitely bad. Mine is cockroaches. I fucking hate those like fucking huge water bugs. Which I think are different than cockroaches. I don't like cockroaches either, but I think water bugs is the thing that I really hate.
You ever catch one in a glue trap?
I've never laid out a glue trap. I've seen them caught in glue traps.
When I got my place in New York, glue trap?
I was in the basement and there was a huge cockroach in a glue trap and I somehow wasn't deterred.
Would you be able to lift up a glue trap with a one or two cockroaches stuck on it and throw it away?
Yeah, but I would be worried about it. Can I wrap it around like a paper towel or a cloth? That's probably what I would want to do.
You could use a cloth, but not a paper towel.
Great. As long as I don't have to see them as I'm like, my fear would be like you with the bird. Like I pick up the glue trap and then somehow it like, it rips off its wrist. Leg and yeah, digs a claw into my arm, crawls into my skin. That's what I'd like to avoid ideally.
Yeah. And then at a certain point you'd become much like Kafka's metamorphosis, a cockroach yourself.
That's right. Just like Men in Black, Vincent D'Onofrio's role.
Sugar water.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, exactly. What's Amir's best basketball card? Asks Shifty Ameli. What's Amir's best basketball card?
I believe it's a Ja Morant dunk. Is it not?
Wow. That's the right answer for my NBA Top Shot. My best digital NFT basketball card, but he's asking about my best physical basketball card.
Oh, I see. Is it the one? I mean, it's got to be the one you gave me, the GOAT.
Yeah,
LeBron.
Yeah, it's not.
Okay,
it's obviously not. Okay. That's why I gave it.
What's your best one?
It's a tie. It's a tie between a LeBron rookie that I went in with two other friends because it was too expensive. And this Chris Paul rookie card that I got, which was a rare one of 399. So I'm hoping he wins the championship a little bit. That's a tie between Chris Paul and a LeBron rookie.
I thought you wanted the Bucks.
I do kind of, because I also bet on the Bucks to win the championship a month ago. So I got it from both sides. If the Suns win, then it's good for my card. If the Bucks win, it's good for my bet. But I do find myself rooting for Giannis more than Chris Paul. Chris Paul is kind of a dickling, and Giannis is like this really sweet, humble superstar.
Mm-hmm. Right. Cool.
Did you watch the game on Saturday?
Yeah, I had a great Saturday night because I went out on Friday night. I was kind of hungover. And I just ordered food from my old favorite hangover spot in LA, and I watched it in my hotel room. I sat in a robe, ate a cheesesteak, watched the game. It was awesome.
Yeah. God, the ending was historically amazing. That comeback and then the steal to the alley-oop.
Oh, my God.
I missed it, but it sounded great.
You missed the alley-oop?
Yeah, I watched the first three quarters and then the highlights later.
Wow. Yeah, you missed the best parts.
Let's take another break. And I want to ask you about that Friday night where you raged harder than you have in years. Thank you to Helix for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Jake, you love Helix. You sleep on a Helix.
I certainly do. That is correct. I'm proud to do it.
It's your favorite mattress. You know why? Because it's personalized to you.
That's right. I took the sleep exam. I passed the sleep test. I am certified, licensed, professional sleep, not quiz, test taker. Kind of like the bar, but for mattresses, folks.
Yeah, it says you take a Helix sleep quiz and you can find your mattress in under 2 minutes.
For some.
Super fast, super simple.
It took me 11 days to take that test.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. It was open book, but questions. I really wanted it to be perfect.
Of course it's open book. It's just how you sleep.
Not just that, but yeah, kind of.
And then Helix has a lineup of over 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection.
That's actually what I sleep on, folks.
Wow. So you take the quiz, and then they ship you the mattress. And all mattresses come with a 10 or 15 year warranty. So if you're sleeping on a mattress for so long, it might be time to upgrade. And the best way to upgrade is by going to helix.com/segments.
Right.
Then you take that quiz and you get 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows if you go to that URL.
Damn.
So check it out. Go to helixsleep.com/segments and use the code helixpartner20.
Right on.
So the URL is helixsleep.com/segments. The code is helixpartner20, all one word. You get 20% off your mattress.
Right.
This is the best offer yet, and it won't last long.
No, sir.
So with Helix, better sleep starts now. It starts right now.
That's right.
Thanks, Helix.
Thank you.
Thank you to Babbel for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Gracias,
Babbel. Very good. I don't know if you know this, Jake, but I'm already bilingual.
Really?
Yep. I grew up in a Hebrew-speaking household.
Ken.
Lamadti Ivrit b'bayit. That means I learned Hebrew at home. The best way to learn a language is through immersion.
Yes.
But if your parents aren't actually from a different country and constantly speaking to you in that language, how do you immerse yourself?
You're not going
to
get immersed, folks.
The best way to do so is by using Babbel.
Babbel.
It's a science-backed language learning app that actually works.
Ooh.
You don't have to pay hundreds of dollars for tutoring, okay?
Yeah.
You can just spend 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by 200 language experts that help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Incredible.
I need this because, you know, I already got the Hebrew. I want to go French. I want to go Spanish.
You should go full French. Let's go full French on your rap.
Let's French. Let's French. Let's French. bonjour indeed.
Oui.
How about a special limited time offer for our listeners? Right now, you can get 55% off your Babbel subscription.
Whoa.
But you got to go to babbel.com/segments. That's 55% off babbel.com/segments, spelled babbel.com/segments.
Segments, and segments is spelled S-H-A-N.
You are illiterate L-N. In English.
Yeah.
So I say throw English away. That's whatever. Not going to happen for you.
I'll go full French.
Go to Italian.
I'll go Italian.
Go to German.
Yes, I will
and
go
I'll
to German.
And I'll meet you there.
Yes, guten Tag.
Thank you. Rules and restrictions may apply indeed. But again, you can get 55% off at Babbel, babbel.com/segments.
Love it.
Ciao.
Adios.
And we're back. Okay.
Hello.
You came to LA on Wednesday.
That's right.
Left on Sunday.
Correct.
Friday night, smack dab in the middle. You go out New York style, I'll call it. It is hot, heavy, crowded, sweaty, insane, intense. I'm not even there. I couldn't attend, slightly afraid to attend, you know, a huge maskless gathering of strangers. You fucking go belly first into the beast. That's are you thinking about COVID at all, or are you too drunk to care?
I wasn't thinking about it at all. I didn't think about it before I went out when I was drunk, or like before I was drunk. So definitely not when I was drunk.
So what was the party?
Yeah. It was a party called Candy Pop.
right.
And it was in like a ballroom in like downtown LA. There was like a stage, a huge DJ booth, a dance floor, and they were playing songs from like the 90s and early 2000s, just every single top 40 hit you could want.
Basically what we used to chase in every city we went to, our goal was to find this Shangri-La.
Yeah, we were always looking for the 90s or like the early, really the early 2000s hip hop dance party. We wanted to go somewhere where they were playing Big Pimpin'. That was the dream.
Okay. So you get there. Are you late? Are you lit? Is it already crowded? Are you into it instantly?
So what did I do first on Friday? I hung out with the NADPOD crew. We recorded some episodes. We went out to dinner. And then I dropped my car at the hotel and I Ubered to Marty's. And I'd recorded, I'd eaten. I had my first drink and I'm like, he makes me a drink at his house. And I was like, I wonder how long I'm even going to stay out. Cohen came out to meet us. Marty had some other friends that were coming to the house. And I was like, I hope I don't disappoint everybody because I don't really feel like dancing. I'm probably just going to like hang
for
a little bit.
You're kind of fried.
Yeah. And it was nothing to do with like, yeah, I wasn't worried about the crowds. I was just like, honestly, I was like tired. Had a drink. We went to the club, still like not even that excited. We get there though, and there's a small line, and I was right in front of a convenience store, so I ran in and I got a 5-hour energy, and
very New York style.
Yeah, the line was short. It was only like 5 minutes, and inside it was like half crowded. Like we were able to walk right up to the bar with no wait. There's like the dance floor. But like if you needed to go to the bathroom, you could like move through the crowd without touching anybody. We got vodka Red Bulls. We took a shot.
Wow, a shot. Yeah. A fucking shot.
A shot.
When was the last time you took a shot? Just a straight up, let's get this into our system as fast as possible.
Yeah. I mean, probably kind of recently, but it still feels really good. I mean, not in that environment.
A shot.
Yeah. Not a shot with like, you know, your four guys at the bar. There's a dance party in the other room. That's been a long time. And then we got another drink. And I was like, after that, I went from not knowing if I wanted to go dancing to truly dancing by myself for 3 hours, head down, just in the zone. Didn't give a like. Every once in a while, I would like get up, put my arm around Marty, put my arm around Cone. We're like kind of dancing together. But I was just in it. It was so good.
You're on like a natural drug, basically. Your brain was flowing happy chemicals that have been building up for months and months.
Didn't even realize how much I missed it. It was like one of those things that I didn't crave throughout. I was like, the things that I craved were way more simple, like just hanging out with friends, because I couldn't even do that. Right. But then the last few months have been hanging out with friends, and what I hadn't had on the register was fucking Rager. And here it is. It was good. It was good.
And it was funny because that night at midnight, the LA was like, all right, starting now, you have to wear a mask indoors. So like this could be like the last huge dance party for a few months. And you like timed it just right.
Yeah. God, I feel bad. That's brutal for you guys.
Or maybe people just like, nah, we're not going to agree to doing that. And we're like, would this party just happen again in next week? Nobody's going to like actually wear a mask there.
Yeah, I wonder. I have no idea. I mean, you would know better than me. Like, but it seemed like the next day they had the mask mandate start, or on Sunday they had it start and like everyone at the coffee shop where I'd been the day before, no one was wearing a mask. They're suddenly all
oh, no one was. Know. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Now they are.
The signs were back up on stores. I think they stores want to keep their employees healthy.
Right.
But I don't know what the fuck, like bars are going to, no, you can't require a mask at a bar. Like,
I think that's the weirder part because like the way bars always worked when they opened indoor dining, it's like, you don't have to have a mask on when you're eating or drinking. And it's like, put a mask on if you go to the bathroom. And it's like, yeah,
that okay, seems fine.
That seems like a weird like half measure anyway that couldn't have helped that much.
It's like, I mean, it seems like it's going to be happening in other cities. Like it's just growing and growing. And like that's the first thing that you do is like say, okay, you have to wear a mask indoors again. Like,
right.
I would say most big cities will have it soon. So I guess we'll find out what the fuck is going to happen.
But like, I just don't understand how you can do mask indoors at a restaurant where you don't have one when you're inside. And it's just like you wear one for like 5% of the time. It's like if you stand up, you have to put it on. It's like, that's not.
Yeah.
Happy to do it, of course. But it sounds like it can't be helpful. There's no way that's like super good.
Right. Maybe it's like, yeah, I don't even know. I just don't know. Let's find out. All right, here's a classic question that we get all the time. What is your dream car?
Ooh.
That's from Josh Carter. Dream car.
My dream Carter. I've got a couple.
I mean, we're fucking, I'm a gearhead, so like I can't count how many times people have asked me about my opinion on my fucking goat whip.
Yeah. You, the 1969 Porsche Carrera.
Yeah. I'm fixing it up with my dad in the garage as we speak.
Don't you have a hot rod?
I'm working on building a hot rod, yes. It's a 54 Chevy.
Man. So for a long time I had my dream car. It was a 2000 Toyota Tacoma. I since given it to my sister. She's got my dream car. I don't care about like fancy cars. Like I don't want a Mercedes or a BMW. I like early 2000s, just the same way I like my music, late 90s trucks. That's what I want. Part of me, I think if I really had my druthers, I'd have a nice old pickup truck again, just a nice tiny little weekend errand runner and a Westfalia. That's like my dream car, I think.
How much the Westfalia that you can like sleep in?
Yeah, like a 1992 like an old RV. Westfalia Vanagon. That's what I want.
I'm gonna get you one just because I came into this huge chunk of cash and I want to pay it forward.
I don't feel
71
like it's if it's paying fine. Just so you know, if it's paying it forward, then that means you actually don't expect anything of me, and I'm supposed to do a good deed for someone else.
I'm sure you'll hit me back. You
That's can
pay
what
I'm it forward
saying.
All the way around back to my ass.
Yeah, so I don't it goes want around. To
you pay
owe
it forward
you.
So much.
I don't want to owe you something because you don't
in
want
kind.
Cash. You want some kind of favor. You want me to be indebted to you. You
A
want me to have to say
boy
yes.
Favor. I want that Westfalia favor.
I don't
want
to do that.
That's the big
you.
One.
I don't want to do anything for you.
You owe it to me. It's insane how little I care about cars. And I guess I'm happy about it because I waste my money on shit like crypto and fucking collectibles. Right. That like, I'm glad I don't care about cars. Because I would just spend... Cars are a very expensive hobby. If you have it, like, you can spend $100,000 on a fucking Tesla.
Yeah.
And I'm like... I already feel bad that I like lease a fucking mediocre Mazda for $250 a month. I'm like, I don't need even that. Like, I can just fucking drive a Ford Focus. I don't care. I don't know what it's in me. It's in my brain. I never, ever, ever cared about what I have.
Yeah. And that, you do, but you care about it like being at least easy to drive.
Like, yes, comfortable. But every car in 2020 is like nice and comfortable.
Right.
Like I'll rent a car.
What if you just went and you were like, I'm going to try an Audi. I'm just going to drive an A4. And you're like,
yeah,
you liked that more than a Mazda. It was smoother. It was easier.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine anything being smooth. Like, I don't register the smoothness of my car. And I don't register like the niceness of it either. And I'm like, why would I pay double for a car that feels the same to me? And I brought in my car to get fixed, and the guy's like, "Ooh, Mazda 3. I think that's my favorite." I'm like, "Yeah, it's nice." And he's like, "Do you use the paddle shifters?" I'm like, "No, I don't know what any of the features are. Like, I haven't activated or turned off." He's like, "Sport mode." I'm like, "Nope, just
it gives you a little more control."
It's like, you feel the turns.
I want to seize as much control as possible.
Thank you.
I don't want to my feel car the should turns, control
or
me.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me a self-driving fucking, I don't know. What's the cheapest car? Is it a Ford Focus? Did I just make that up?
Yeah, it might be a Toyota Yaris. Car. A Yaris. It's got to be a Yaris.
Give me an anything. I really, yeah. I think it's because my dad also never cared, so I never had that. My brothers never cared.
Your dad has a nice car, though. He's got a convertible.
He has a convertible, yeah. Mm-hmm. But he's not like, let me buy one and, you know, learn right. about the different kinds.
Yeah, I always cared about the way cars looked, but I was lucky that I liked the way older cars looked. Maybe it's because my family always, we never bought new cars. They were always used. So like when I was like getting a car in like 2001 or something, like I wanted a 1990 car.
Toyota Corolla.
Yeah. I was like, oh yeah, I want to get like a 94.
Yeah. And when I came back to LA and I bought a car, I couldn't believe how like nice cars were now. Like no car has a fucking key that you turn on. I used to have a key that you turn on. Every car has a camera in the back. Very helpful. Very great. Yeah.
I went from like, I was so analog with the Tacoma. I loved having my key. And when I got my new car, I didn't like having a fob. I didn't like the press button. But now, I couldn't use the backup camera. I didn't know how to do it. It made it harder for me.
Interesting.
Now I could never go back. I drove my truck a couple weeks ago because my sister was home, and I fully, like, I was backing up, and I just like didn't know what to do. I looked directly at the console, wanting to see the camera.
Yeah, I have no idea like what my, I used to like, you know, they used to teach you like, all right, put your hand over here and like turn around all the way and like that's how you back up or parallel park. Now it's like, do they teach kids not to turn around when they're parallel parking?
It used to have to be, I guess they must, but it did, like, I remember when I was learning, it was so precise. It was like the rear window needed to like line up with the person's, like brake lights, and then you had to twist till your rear view mirror got to their brake lights. But now it's like I'm like vaguely guessing every single time because I'm like, oh, it doesn't matter with the camera, I can course correct so easily.
Also, there's also cars where it's like, all right, line up your car and press this button and it'll sort of do it for you, so you don't have to worry about parallel parking.
That's sad for me because I'm actually an incredible parallel parker and I don't want my talent to become utterly meaningless.
You're so small.
I'm not small. I'm the parking king. You know that's how I refer to myself.
Yeah. Drago MXO asks, what rules would you like to see changed in basketball or any other sport to make the game more interesting? I got one in mind for this one.
For basketball?
No, for soccer, because I've been watching. I was watching the Euro Cup. Yeah,
right.
Penalty kicks should be worth half a goal. You shouldn't play for 88 minutes of intense soccer, and that's like the ref's like, I think he tripped him near there. All right, get a penalty kick, which is like the equivalent of getting 55 free points in basketball. Like a goal is such a premium that to just give them away, and then like another team actually gets a real goal, and that's a tie. No, like that penalty kick was a lot easier than that, like an amazing header. So it should be penalty kicks are worth half. And then I'll go so further as to say it was Harry Kane that missed a penalty kick and then the rebound came to him and then he scored.
The finish.
Yeah, that's a bullshit. That you don't get to fucking.
I think that was harder.
He blocked your kick.
The finish was probably.
And you're like, yes, I got it back in. No, he just fucking got a rebound and scored. Like, you should get the penalty kick if it's blocked. You cede your time. You don't get to then, in addition to that, kick it in and then celebrate like you did something good. He fucked up. He should be ashamed and saddened.
You have an issue with the rules of the sport. Not Kane and Sterling played within the rules. Everyone played
Kane
within
wasn't
the same
able.
Rules. They benefited. Yeah. Yes. But it wasn't his fault. He kicked. It was blocked. He had a beautiful putback, actually, which to finish on that, to react
that's what
on
I'm
that,
saying.
And to get
I'm
it over the goalie the second time, that was beautiful football right there.
Yeah, you get two little opportunities from point blank. Awesome. You made the second one.
Yeah. But, I mean, I agree in a way. In a way, I think.
Wow, you're not a real soccer fan.
No, I mean, well, first of all, at least I don't think you could like point to any one game and be like that wasn't fair, because I can't remember every single Denmark game, but like I'm sure there were calls that they benefited from that the other teams didn't think that were fair. Everybody's like wins and loses by the same set of dumb rules. I don't like VAR. I think that should be, I think that they should not adhere to it as strictly as they do. Like,
right.
And like the offside calls when like a goal basically looks like it was clean. It was incredible. And then they do that weird thing where they're like making the cross hatches and they're like, actually his shoulder was just ahead of his toe.
An inch.
And it's like, that should not, you shouldn't overturn stuff like that. So on the margins, I don't think.
Right.
I think that's bullshit. Yeah, I mean, bullshit.
Replay is sort of a problem across any sport where it's like, if you slow it down when he knocked the ball out, it actually touched his pinky right before you knocked it out. So it's actually off of you. Yeah. Little shit like that, yeah. It's against the spirit of the rule, even though it's scientifically accurate on a replay.
I don't like penalty kick shootouts. And it's not just because England lost. Yeah, I think that's... It's such a weird... It's its own game. It's like settling the end of a soccer game by playing Mario Party. It's
or a basketball game by doing a free throw contest.
Yeah, it's just... It's crazy. It's tough though, because like I don't know what else you do. You just keep on playing
as they get exhausted. Yeah,
right. That's harder, but it still doesn't seem. It ain't right. It doesn't seem right.
Maybe they play again. What if they pack it up and play again tomorrow?
That's interesting. I don't know.
I think that's how it works in Aussie rules. It's like if there's a tie, they're like, "All right, let's play again in a week or something like that."
That's amazing.
In the finals, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that. That seems okay for the finals to me. It's like I don't know. The drama is amazing. So there is that. I feel like if you're an Italy fan, everybody's probably like, I love penalty kicks. The drama was high. I won. I feel amazing.
Yeah.
But for anyone on the losing side, it's just like a deflating way to lose a game.
All right. Good questions, good answers. Good to see you again in the Zoom. It was a little weird to see you in person, so this is good.
I prefer it this way. This is nice.
Back to where we are.
Yeah, nice.
I'm off to check on my maggots and ants. Thanks to you guys for writing in your theme songs and your questions to ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
The opening theme song, again, let's hear the second half of it, was Alex Southie, who has... a single to promote on Wednesday, July 21st, called As Close As You'll Ever Be. You can find it anywhere on his socials and streaming on that date. So shout out to Alex Southie Music, or Alex Southie with an EY.
That's right.
And thanks to everybody that's supporting us on Patreon. New videos coming soon to our YouTube.
That's right. That's patreon.com/JA.
Yeah. And, thanks to everyone who's supporting us there. And we will be back again with another testing a bonus Thursday episode this week on Thursday. Last week, we did a spelling bee. This week,
that's right.
Who knows?
I'm going to test
what
you.
Kind of crazy
I'm
trivia.
Grilling you on okay. something. You're going to take the notary exam, the Connecticut State notary exam.
I'm going to fucking pass a bar exam. It's going to be a 24-hour episode.
That's right.
Okay, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week. Bye.
You're not as funny as you think. You laugh along with your eyes closed. And when you're open, no one's there. If I
was a HeadGum Original.